Yes. Yes, yes, yes. The presence of the Lord is tangible, releasing miracles. You know, we can believe and receive, or we can shrug off and not. The things with God are always enterable. And he's made an entrance, and he encourages us to take that entrance. And because of that, the enemy does his very best to get us to be spiritually dull and indifferent to the things of God. Fact. I was thinking that 30 years ago at this time, we were just into this building. I don't remember if the carpet was even in yet when we started meeting, when there was a nice wood floor. Chuckled about the idea of sawdust. Didn't seem like it was a big seller to anybody. And, you know, so I didn't get my sawdust. I saw the Kaufmans. They had a video, a live video of holy life in Africa. I can't name the place of it. And they were doing the live video and talking, and in the background, man, the people were marching, the drums were beating, they were praising, you know. And they have a lot of that happens down there now, because they've got quite a bit of Africa right there in their church now. And that's exciting. But the most exciting thing is that we have the Lord in the church. We have the Lord's presence. And, you know, it is in Hebrews where it says, you know, that we need to make sure that we draw together, that we be together, because it's in the Lord's presence that he likes us to gather, and he joins us. Now, he joins you all alone, too. But he likes us to be together. He likes us to gather with other people, whether it's one person on the street or whatever it is, to just enjoy him and to let the world know that we enjoy him, because that reveals that there is joy in the Lord everywhere. The joy of the Lord is our strength. In the church? No. But yes. But, you know, we can kind of block out the enemy for a while when we gather together. And we can be free to just receive from God. And it's in that learning to receive from God together that we learn to receive from God all alone. Because we know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But when we come together, there's something special about people gathering in the name of the Lord. Now, I was thinking up until this morning, I was thinking about this thing. I heard somebody say something. I did, or I read a paragraph about, you know, a half an inch, three sentences maybe. And in that paragraph, they were talking about, you know, God's anger at sin. And about how he took his anger out on sin on Jesus. What happened to Jesus shows us two things. One, how much God wants to obliterate sin. And there's a great picture there in how much he loves us, because he did that. It pleased him. That never makes any sense to me, but it somehow, you know, I guess when you know the outcome, maybe from his place, you know, that he knew when it was over it would be finished, but he got all of his frustrations out there. So that our sins come under all of that. There's a way that seems right unto man, and it's just crazy, and There's things that God does that seem foolish to man, but he took those things to do everything. And it's so good that he got that out of his system. You know, it's like somebody, you know, taking a baseball bat to something and just until they're worn out, now they got all their frustration out. But God shifted that to the importance of us being ready to inherit. Because he knows that we have to have something to look forward to keep us looking forward. Otherwise, we'll become dull and indifferent. Lots of people are just dull and indifferent to God. They are. But God is always revving things up. God is always trying to get us to see, to behold the glory, to look for Him, to look for Him, to look for Him. But when we're dull and indifferent, we're easily fooled into seeing him in bad things. I had somebody that just dropped me a note. I think I don't even know how it came, but it was in a comment about something, and somebody commented to me that, you know, that as fires in California, that's what they get. No, it wasn't in that. It was a private conversation. And they said, oh, that's what they get for being Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, and it wouldn't have done any good to go anywhere with that. I just said, Lord, help them, you know. I mean, there's a little Sodom and Gomorrah activity everywhere. There's a little Sodom and Gomorrah activity in our own lives if we get honest. Our own thinking, you know, every now and then, a little unbelief slips in. That's like Sodom and Gomorrah. They refuse to believe. Every now and then, anger or bitterness slips in. Dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. See, he just came from talking about useless people, about condemning and fire and burning thistles and things like that. He just got done with that, and you know, and nobody likes to look at that. He said, we, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9, dear friends, even though we're talking this way, we really don't believe it applies to you. Say, it doesn't apply to me. Here's what applies to us. They said, we're confident that you are meant for better things. Say, I'm meant for better things. Things that come with salvation. For God is not unjust. And he will not forget how hard you've worked for him and how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. Our great desire is that you will keep on loving others as long as life lasts in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true. Isn't that interesting? There's a lot of things he could have put there that we need to do. But he reduced it down to one thing, and I think he reduced it down to one thing because it's the one thing that's the most difficult. That you'll keep loving others. You know, it's easy to criticize. And have you ever noticed that if you slip into criticizing, you can just keep criticizing? You can quit talking and you're still criticizing. Still thinking about things you could say. Still thinking, sometimes I should have said, you know. But that's headed in that direction, away from love. But when it comes to love, oftentimes, you know, we can just leave it at love. Of course I love you. And we don't walk away thinking about all the wonderful ways that we do. You know? Think about that. What do we remember to declare? I'm really glad that he turned it to this, and I'm glad he reminds me of that, because I found myself this week, something came up, and I started thinking those other kind of things. I think that somehow or another Vicki had disturbed me. And I don't remember. I can't imagine what it was. I don't remember what it was for sure. But I remember that I started doing the living example of the things that I could say. I could say, but I'm not going to. And, you know, for a little bit, I thought, man, I'm doing really good. I'm not saying those things. And then I just had this thought, and I began to declare, I have a wonderful wife. I have a wonderful wife. I think that must come up from when you said that, John, last week, when you said, I have a wonderful wife. You know? But it was just, I have a wonderful wife. You know? Who gives me a wonderful home, gave me wonderful children. I began to declare those things, you know? All the critic left. Went in the right direction. And that was what, you know, he's saying, you can put anything else there that you want to, but keep going in the right direction. But the most difficult, if we really think about it, the most difficult is that love thing. That kindness thing. Because you see, love is gentle. Love is kind, peaceful. Love's all that good stuff, so that you keep all the other good stuff going. Maybe that's what he should. Keep all the good stuff going, but, you know, God is wise. God knows what he's doing. And so he puts in, we want you to keep loving others. Loving others. You know, loving others, you can come to love yourself. We really do need to. It's not all about me, but it is, the Bible says, you know, someone who loves themselves. So then it makes sense that the enemy would try to somehow make that problematic if you love yourself. It doesn't say worship yourself, just love. A person who loves themselves. To remain diligent. You know? So you don't become dull. So that you don't become indifferent. Instead, you'll follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises. You see, if you do the love part, as long as life lasts, in order to make certain that what you hope for will come true, certain. The Bible wants us to be certain about things. Okay, it's like when Rachel gave that word, she was certain it was a word from the Lord. Now, we've all had those, so we know that when you're certain that it's a word from the Lord, then you've got, well, but wait, that was the same thing that the Lord was saying to me at the worship thing. So, you know, am I just going to use that, or is the Lord really wanting me to share that? You know, have you ever had that happen where you want to be sure? Maybe that's just me. You know, maybe I just want that. I don't know. Maybe she never had any doubt whatsoever. Maybe she never questioned it at all. And that's wonderful. But sometimes that does happen. But just as certain as she was of that is just how certain we need to be of everything about God. I'm certain that he heals. I'm certain that he protects. I'm certain that he provides. I'm certain. I'm absolutely certain. I was thinking this week about, you know, promises of God. And I've had lots of promises from God. And I couldn't write down all the things that he's promised. And I'm sad to say that I couldn't actually write down all of the ways he's kept his promises. I should. Some of them are still coming. But one promise that he highlighted to me as I was considering all of that was years and years and years, like 34 years ago. He said to me, I will take care of you when you need it. not before and not after. And he has never failed to do that. Never failed to do that. And I thank him that he's willing to remind me of a promise that was probably the most important promise at the time and since then. And it's a great, great reminder. And so he not only will take care of me, I'm certain he'll take care of anybody who will call upon him. I'm certain that he takes care of some people who won't call upon him. I'm certain. I'm certain that there were people that escaped from that fire that shouldn't have escaped from that fire, but they got out of that fire. Not because they were bad that they shouldn't have escaped, but circumstances were that natural, they wouldn't have gotten out, but somehow something opened up and they got out. I'm certain that before long we will start seeing, and maybe they already are out there, people posting on Facebook how it seemed like there was just a pathway in the fire. Or for some reason, I got through. I don't know how I got through. And then there'll be people saying, I don't know why I got through. So-and-so didn't get through. But we can be certain of what God will do. Instead, you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. Say, I'm going to inherit God's promises. I am. They're there, they're manifesting, they're circling, they're ready. He's prepared to do things that I don't know anything about. Things are going on that we don't know about. Isn't that what you said, Rachel? God's doing things we don't know about. If you take that into your heart and you are confident of it and you treasure that in your heart, even though right now at this very moment you may not need that very thing, but it's yours. And maybe this week, next month, 6 months, who knows? Boom. The absolute direct need for that is going to come, and from within you is going to go, I already got that. You may not know the date, you may not know the time, but you know you've got it somewhere. You know I've got it somewhere. I was digging through my billfold when I went down to Springfield because I know I have a pick in there somewhere. I have a guitar pick in there somewhere. And I was digging and I couldn't remember which one of my things that I carry cards in and stuff, which I know I've got picks there somewhere. I dug until I found a pick. I knew it had to be there somewhere. Now, I will tell you what, as I was digging through three different places, I was thinking, have I used all of those? I know I've got one somewhere. And there it was. Well, this is the thing about the promises of God. I've got that somewhere. I've got that somewhere. Have you ever gone looking for a scripture and you know it's in there somewhere? And you're looking at the different Bible than you remember it being in. And you remember, for me, a lot of times I remember where it was on a certain page. You know, not a numbered page, but I know it's about here on this side and that page. And I'll go through my Bible looking for right in that spot, and I won't find it, and I won't find it, and then I'll find it, and I'll realize, it's in this other Bible. Man, but you know, while you're looking, it's coming to life in you. While you're looking, you're thinking about it. While you're looking, you're planning on it. There's a reason that you're searching. See, if we're searching, we aren't going to become dull and indifferent. I don't want to be dull and indifferent to the Word. I want the Holy Spirit to remind me. I want the Holy Spirit to say, dull, indifferent. I want to be reminded if I'm going along and I'm not getting what I should be inheriting. My inheritance, you know, with God, you see, the will goes into effect when the person who wrote the will dies. When did our inheritance go into effect? When Jesus died. And when he rose, That opened that baby up to the reading, and it's for everybody's invited to the reading of the will, and everybody's in the will. I want my part of the inheritance. Don't you want your part? And if we become dull and indifferent, what's the big deal? You see, because then we miss our current inheritance, and now it's like, well, maybe I'll go to heaven someday, and well, you know, nobody can keep me out of heaven, so I'll go to heaven someday, and, you know, who cares if I'm miserable and ugly and hateful and bitter here? I mean, I'm still going to go to heaven, but I'm going to miss life. I'm going to miss abundant life. I'm going to miss joy. I'm going to miss what God had intended for me. And so then I'm going to be beat up by every circumstance in the world. I won't even be able to really enjoy good things for long because I'm looking for something bad to come. You know, it won't last. Or it's not enough. I'll store that and I'll go for more. But it just isn't. But then there comes the Lord and there's satisfaction. There's peace. There's completeness. There's a rest. Enter into the rest of the Lord. See, if we're not restful in the Lord, if we don't just get peace when we pursue it, if those things aren't happening, somewhere we've become dull and indifferent to God's promise. I couldn't tell you how many times I've heard people say, "Yeah, I know." Well, I had some dynamite comments at chapel on Friday. This one girl said, "Well, I believe that God put me in jail to keep me from something worse." And I said, "Okay. That works for you right now. But is he going to have to do something bad to you all the time? Is that going to have to be your excuse all the time? What if we don't consider that? What if we just consider that you got in jail because you did something wrong? And the Lord was here for you. He was there for you to try to keep you out of it before you came here." "Well, that's just what I believe. That's how I'm going to be." I said, "That's okay. You can. I'm just going to drop a seed of something else. Maybe you'll consider that later." I said, "You can get mad at me if you want. I don't care. But I can't stand here and lie to you." Another gal came in, and she's been a real joy. She was the gal that the first thing that she ever said was, so, "How can you believe that God is good? Look where I am." Oh, well, we've had quite a few conversations about that. She's been up and down and all around. And she came in on Friday and she said, "Well, you know, I had my trial. And the jury gave their verdict. And the judge said, 'Thank you for your service. But I've seen a lot of these kind of trials, and in most of those trials, they prove beyond a shadow of a doubt. But I don't see that in this one. So I'm going to do Article 29 or something, and I'm going to review it all on my own, and then I'm going to decide.'" I said, "Isn't that something that God can do that?" She said, "Yeah, you said he could do that." I said, "Well, you know, that must have been the Holy Spirit. But yes, the jury doesn't have the last word. And even if the judge goes along with the jury, it's not the last word." Philip was on top of his game this week, sent a letter and said that he had gotten a couple answered prayers. One, that he got moved from east back to west, which meant that he could eat without getting hurt. That was a good one. Then he got a roommate. The roommate was in his room, and the roommate was having such bad migraines that he was like crying and screaming and things like that. And Philip said, "Well, you know, God can heal you." The guy said, "I don't believe in God." Philip said, "Well, how about if I pray for you anyway?" "Well, I don't think he'll do anything." Philip prayed for him. He hasn't had a headache since. And then he gave his life to the Lord. You see, he was indifferent, doubtful, and didn't have a thing to do it. But Philip got certain about that. See, we can be certain about our inheritance. And as we are certain about our inheritance, then we can share what we're certain of. And some will receive it, and some will believe it, and some will reject it. But we will just praise the Lord. Because we have that. And it's not some limited inheritance, so we can share it. And we can be sure that God will, you know, I want God to do abundantly above and beyond, more than he's ever done for me, for anybody that I can convince that he'll do for them. Won't bother me a bit. And I'm thankful that there's people who laid the foundation for all that, and there's people that have sought the Lord, and there's people that have taught, and the truth has gotten greater and greater and greater, and that any time I will receive a truth, it becomes mine then. I don't have to wait 30 years. I'm thankful that anything that we will grab, I'm thankful that when somebody gives a word and says that the presence is tangible and that he's just pouring out miracles, that if we will just hear it and say, okay, that's mine, we got that baby stored away. We might walk out of here and half hour later see somebody that needs a miracle and we say, I'm certain that God has a miracle for you. I'm certain that God is able to do everything that God says that he can do. I'm certain when I came over here this morning to check the place and to pray in the place, and I was saying, oh God, you're worthy of praise, and it just hit me like, God, show us how worthy you are. Because I don't know how worthy he is. The Bible says we know in part, and boy, we know in part, don't we? We do, and I'm thankful for what we do know, but I'm always excited to know more. So Lord, show me how worthy you are. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined how amazing you are, God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Did you feel him tangibly just kind of rest on us as we were singing, oh Jesus? That's how he feels about Jesus. Oh Jesus. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a trio. What a trio. What an amazing thing. What a sad thing when people don't know. But we've got this inheritance that we're certain of. And that's why Jesus said, you know, as the Father has sent me, that I'm sending you. What's God's plan for our life? Go. As he sent me, I send you. To the demon-possessed man who said, I want to come with you. He said, I'll just go and tell everybody what the Lord has done for you. And as we've talked before, you know, when he started telling what the Lord had done for him, it started out with, well, you know, I was out there in those rocks all the time. I was the one that was demon-possessed and the Lord set me free. But can you imagine how much that grew as he began to understand exactly what the Lord had done? As he began to realize, whoa, you know, let me tell you about what it's really like out in that graveyard, bound up and chained up and all that, and all of that stuff. And I remember it very well, and I'm free from that too. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit is able to touch other people's hearts, and it might not have anything to do with what we're certain of, but all of a sudden they get a certainty. That'll work for this, and we don't even know what it is. And sometimes God will reveal what it is, and somebody will say, how did you know that? I didn't. Came into my mind, I let it out my mouth. That's just what I needed. a young gal, I think young, I guess they're all starting to look young maybe, but she was a young gal pregnant in jail, you know. And she's sitting there and she's crying sometimes and smiling sometimes and just sitting there sometimes. And God just started talking right straight to her, right out of her condition. And she got up and she came and she said, I needed that. I said, well, you know, God knew you needed that. So now you know anything you need, God knows about. See, we know these things. We know these things. We've been exposed to these things. We've heard these things. We know them, but we can sure get dull and indifferent to them. They can thrill us one day. But it, you know, it was good when it lasted. Wednesday night, we prayed for my trip to Springfield. And always we want the deer in the fields. I praise God frequently as I'm driving. Oh God, thank you for those deer that I don't see. And like 5 miles out of Springfield or something like that, there was a nicest buck. I mean to tell you, there must be people spotting for that buck standing on the edge of the road. I said, what are you doing on the edge of the road? You're supposed to be in the field. You know, I slowed down. He looked at me and took off back the way that he came. Boy, I was glad about that. But I'd have been happy to have herds of deer if I could see the road coming home because it was snowing and I couldn't find out where the road was. And have you ever, you know, when you can't see the road when it's covered with snow? I get off on strange thinking sometimes, but I'm going, I can't remember if this road has a shoulder or if it's a part of the road that doesn't have a shoulder. You know? And I can sort of think I see where the edge of the ditch is, but I really hope it has a shoulder. And then I can't, which ones have the rumble strip? I like those ones with the rumble strip that will remind me if I'm getting off the road. And then I saw a semi come and I thought, well, now that will be good because he will clear the other side of the road, so I will at least know where the other side of the road was. But he was all over the road, so I'm not exactly sure which side of the road it was on, you know. So I know these are strange things to think while you're going, but I'm doing that and I'm praying in tongues. Because it's like, oh man. I asked the Lord when I left Springfield to keep the snow till I got home. But he got me home, so I'll praise the Lord for that. I was certain that it would. Sometimes in our walk, we can't see the road. And we don't just want to follow any path. I also had somebody that was ahead of me, but they were all over the road, and I wasn't going to follow their tracks, but I thought, boy, sometimes they got to run out of road. They're getting over there close, and I'm going along, and the Lord said, slow down. And I said, well, I can do that. I'll slow down. And I did. I slowed down. And the next thing I know, I see some snow flurrying in front of me. And it was that car that was all over the road and almost in the ditch and going about 3 miles an hour. And there came a place where I could get around that person because I was certain they didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, I mean, I'm certain, but I could have been dull and indifferent to that and just thought, oh, that's just, you're driving just, you know, it wasn't like I was driving 100 miles an hour. I wasn't even driving anything. I was just wanting to see the road. Praying, God, let me see the road. But I'm certain. We're certain. And it's important to us to stir up the gift that was given to us by the Holy Spirit. It's important to us to keep ourselves stirred up. It's important for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit may be just a message. Is this a little dull? A little indifferent? Oh, are you really? Are you really that busy? You're so busy that you don't have time to praise the Lord? Really? Is your life so full that you don't need a little joy of the Lord? You know, just kind of thoughts that maybe we say to ourselves that the Holy Spirit is suggesting to us because, you know, I mean, hey, let's face it now. I hit 35 years with the Lord. And we've all been meeting together for 34. Since 2004 in one way or another. Some of us not all that long, but I mean this place has been here for, the building's here is 30, right? Moved here in 1984, got saved in 1983. So 35 years in the fall of 83 is the fall of 2018. And I know a lot of people that have become dull and indifferent. And I know that I'm probably as guilty of it as anybody. You know? That I have to stir it up. His name always changes my whole attitude, but I might forget his name sometimes. I might get busy. Got a lot of things to do. You got a lot of things to do, don't you? But isn't it always better when we do them with him? If we just include him, and when we include him all the time, we don't become dull and indifferent. So we're certain that we're going to follow example of those who are going to inherit God's promises. Amen. I'm going for God's promises. They are mine, and I will not miss one of them. Lord, we thank you. We are ready to inherit the promises. Show us your ways. Teach us your paths. Keep us, Lord. Keep us, Lord, from becoming dull and indifferent. May we have monitors, little warnings that go off and say, dull and indifferent, dull and indifferent. We ask you, Lord, Holy Spirit, do this for us in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.